Welcome to the Roughing the Passer podcast preview edition, special holiday edition. As always, Will Brinson, Nick Costas. This is presented by Stamps.com. Avoid trips to the post office. It's Christmas Eve while we're recording this. You're probably listening on Christmas or while you're mailing that crappy sweater your mother-in-law gave you. No, just kidding. I love my mother-in-law's sweater. She's sitting right on the other side of the door here. Avoid trips to the post office to mail that stuff back. Use Stamps.com instead to buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right from your computer. For a four-week trial and $110 bonus offer, go to Stamps.com. Click on the microphone and type in the promo code FFT. Nick, thanks as always for joining me. This is a different week. We've been recording live from Florida, hanging out in the same room, getting amped up. And now instead, we are doing this from some miles away. I have added you as a Skype contact. I'm debating whether you popped up when I fired up Skype. You popped up along with Sexy Kitties 525. So,
oh, well, you know, I'm a huge fan. If you had to pick a sexy kitty, you would go with Sexy Kitty 525. She's absolutely superb.
Well, you know, it's, you know, like sometimes people have, you'll find out what their AOL name was. You're like, that's pretty hysterical because it was in high school. And so I log on to Skype and it was like, Sexy Kitties 525 wants to add you as a contact. I was like, surely Nick is professional enough to get a new name at this
point. Yeah, that's insane. Yeah, my AOL screen name in high school, this is so hokey. You know, I grew up a huge Giants fan. My screen name was NY Giants 683. How nice. Bad is that?
That's better. Prisco's was P.E. Prisco 69.
No way.
No, it may have. No, we're just pretend it was.
No way.
You can listen to Pete Prisco on the Roughing the Passer podcast every Monday. He's with Brady Quinn and Pat Kerwin throughout the
season. Isn't that his CBS email address? Is PeteFrisco69@CBS.com?
It might be. It might be. If you want to email, it's just Prisco69.
Nice.
But so, look, we've got familial obligations, as it were. I think I have church in like 30 minutes or something. So we're going to plow through this preview of the Saturday game and then all the Sunday games. And then you can come back and get Mr. Monday Night hit on another pick. I was bragging to my stepfather-in-law about Nick's Monday Night picks record. He's very interested. He's going to check out Sportsline. You too can check out Sportsline. It's just $10 a month. That's it. You get great tangential football information from guys like Nick, Todd Furman are providing picks on there. You get analysis from the algorithms. What are you now? 14-3-2 on Monday nights?
I am 12-3-1 on Monday nights. Looking to close out the season with a accurate pick on this Monday night's Broncos Bengals game. And please tell your stepfather, Will, just like everybody else, they can do so by visiting sportsline.com/pro.
There you go, and get it's really just $10 a month. It's cheap, and the picks are money. I think they cross like 60% in college football.
Plus, and the chances are, if you're betting games, you're betting more than $10 on one game. So all you need to do is win one bet, and you pay off the sports line.
Right,
pay off. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And plus, like, you're not, you know, unless you're hitting it like a 60% clip, you're going to do better if you go to Sportsline. Anyway, let's dive into the picks. A pick that Sportsline loves, and you have to, I can't give you the grade that they gave it, but I can tell you they love it. The Eagles hosting the Redskins. I feel like every
I wonder what letter that is, Will. Could it be G?
It's X? Yeah, it's a Z.
They really love it. I wonder if it's A.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, just to pull back the curtain a little bit, Sportsline has A, B, and C picks. And so the A picks are the ones that do really, are the most confident ones. And those are the ones that did 60% in the NFL, 60% in college. I think it's like 70% in the NBA right now. It's on fire.
The NBA is crazy. I don't want to sidetrack us too much here, but I feel like you'll appreciate this. So a couple of us in the office have taken to describing all things in life as either A, B, or C picks. And then after whatever it is that's happened, we designate whether the pick covered or not.
That's
so
awesome.
Like, stuff like you're going to get something to eat. And beforehand, you say it's an A pick. You love it. But then you eat it. It's not that good. It's an A pick, and it didn't cover. And you can apply that to all things in life, as you might imagine.
It's pretty fancy. You could hypothetically do that with dates if you were a single person. Maybe that's
And by hypothetically, you mean that's exactly what happens. Yeah.
So in other words, this is actually what we're talking about.
That's correct. Yes. That's
all right. So the Eagles, I feel like, ever since we started doing this podcast, Nick, this has happened like six times, but the Eagles are favorites coming off of a bad loss, and it's an inexplicable line. And when I look at this line, when I initially saw it, when it came out on Tuesday morning, when it popped in my inbox and I had to make picks, my gut reaction was, oh my God, Philly is such a lock. And then I was like, wait a minute, Philly's such a, I'm sorry. My gut reaction was Washington is such a lock because the Redskins are playing well. Kirk Cousins it looks good right now. The Eagles stunk last time out. And then it occurred to me, it was like, well, that's a little too obvious. And the Redskins aren't great away from FedEx Field. And the Eagles just lost to the Cardinals, who are a very, very good team. So I think the Eagles are one of my best bets now.
I totally agree. I love Philly this week. The thing that's obviously concerning is that the defense has been so bad and was brutal last Sunday, but that was against the Arizona Cardinals. And I know Kirk Cousins is hot right now, like Hansel and Zoolander, so hot right now.
So damn hot right now.
And you like that? I kind of do like it. I will admit that I do like what Kirk Cousins is throwing out there. But this is Kirk Cousins on the road. He's been a different passer at home than he has been on the road this year. And even though Philly's defense was bad, I was pretty encouraged by the game that Sam Bradford played last week. I thought it was the best he's looked prior to his two ACL injuries. And he finally looks confident. He's zipping the ball in there. He's not captain checkdown anymore. And I think you're going to see a nice effort from Philly's offense. It's a last gasp saloon here for the Philadelphia Eagles. Redskins win. They clinch the NFC East. Philly knows that, you know, the time is of the essence. Got to win this game. I'm with you, Will. I like the Eagles.
Yeah, and Kirk Cousins, 74.7% completions at home, 64 on the road, 16 touchdowns, 2 picks at home, 6 touchdowns, 9 picks, like a Prisco email address on the road. Nice. And his yards per attempt drops by like 2 yards. So he's just a different quarterback on the road. And I think that the Eagles can do enough to confuse him. And look, that the Redskins secondary, you know, isn't great. And Jordan Matthews playing well. I think Philly's a great pick here. So load up on Christmas presents and then double down on the Eagles -3.
Boom.
The Panthers are at the Falcons, and unsurprisingly, the Panthers are 7-point favorites on the road. They thumped the Falcons 38-0 the last time these two teams played. And although I don't love Carolina, and I would probably take Carolina if it's 6.5, I'm going to double down on my stupidity, taking the Falcons for the third week in a row. They actually covered last week against Jacksonville. I took them. I was the only person who took them against the Panthers 2 weeks ago. I just don't think we see the exact – this is nothing more than a it has nothing to do with like the Falcons being good because they're not good. It has to do with the Panthers. Just the outcome of the same two teams playing doesn't happen exactly the same 2 weeks, correct, 2 weeks in a row in the NFL. It just never does.
Yeah, you know who I am? It's like, have you ever heard of the kid, like he touches the stove and he burns himself horribly, right? And normally that kid learns his lesson. He goes, okay, I burned myself. I'm not going to touch the stove anymore. But I'm like the really dumb kid who continues to touch the stove while it's burning hot. I keep going against the Panthers. They keep burning me. And I'm going to take the Falcons with you, Will, here. I took the Falcons a couple weeks ago and they lost 38-0 to the Panthers. But I'm going to double down and I'm putting both hands on the hot stove and we're going to see what happens here. I think Jonathan Stewart out in this game. Carolina might want to rest some of their guys here. The undefeated season would be nice, but what's more important, we'll be raising the Lombardi Trophy at season's end. Get some guys healthy. Atlanta got some good mojo with the win last week on the road in Jacksonville. I think the Panthers squeak out a late victory, but I think the Falcons cover. And I'll say it, I'm going to pick Carolina to win, but I would not be floored if the Falcons pulled the upset and ended the undefeated season for Carolina.
I'm with you. I think this is a lot like that Saints game in New Orleans, you know, where you saw the Saints actually keep it close with the Panthers. I think being in Georgia is going to make a difference, and you see Atlanta at least be competitive, and Carolina doesn't cover the 7 points. Another game, big spread, except this is for the home team, Buffalo -6 against Dallas. I want to like Dallas, and I think I picked Dallas, but I think I'm probably going to have to change it to Buffalo. As much as Buffalo is discombobulated right now, Mario Williams is calling out Rex Ryan every day. That's literally all he does. He doesn't even practice. He just calls out Rex Ryan.
He gets paid $100 million to call out his head coach.
It's incredible, and I'm a Mario guy, but I don't know what he's doing. Bill Polian is
crushed. You like Mario because he's an NC State guy.
Yeah, that's the only reason. He's not even nice to me. I saw him at an NC State game last year, and I was like, hey, Mario, I'm with CBS. And he was like, I don't talk to the media. I was like, how many media guys are NC State guys? He was like, I don't care. I don't talk to you. And I was like,
wow.
All right. Yeah.
Williams gave you the cold shoulder, huh?
It was ice cold. He's going to be.
Let's go Cowboys then, right?
Yeah, but they got Kellen Moore and Dez Bryant's probably not playing. How can the Cowboys cover this game?
I'm going to lean towards the Cowboys in this one only because I think Buffalo has completely and totally packed it in. I think you saw that last week against the Redskins. You know what I knew that game was over? When Kirk Cousins, it took him about 100 seconds to run 13 yards into the end zone. No one on the Bills defense provided any resistance. And I picked the Bills in that game. That was brutal to watch. I think Buffalo doesn't care anymore. I think you saw the defense, quite frankly, quit on Rex Ryan last week. when you get destroyed by the Redskins and make that offense look like, you know, Tom Brady in 2007, you know, something is amiss here. I don't love the Cowboys. I think this is a game where you've got two bad teams. When you have two bad teams playing, I'm more inclined to take the points. So I'll take Dallas with the 6 or the 6.5.
You know what the other thing, too, about this Rex game is? I think that Rex – so there's 2 weeks left in the season, right? I think that Rex, if he's looking at any game, he's not looking at this Cowboys game. He's looking at that January 3rd Jets game.
You know, yeah, because that's the last Super Bowl that Rex can win until the next one at the press conference at the Combine and then before the draft. And those are the only Super Bowls, of course, that Rex Ryan will ever win will be, you know, the Week 17 meaningless victory. Maybe it'll be like a couple years ago when the Jets won in Week 17 to improve to 8-8 and he got the extension in the locker room. Something tells me Terry Pegula won't be in the locker room ready to bestow Rex Ryan with a bouquet of roses if the Bills manage to beat the Jets. This is a lost season for Buffalo. I think Rex is a clown. I think you know that. I don't think they're going anywhere. I'll take Dallas gladly with the points.
Yeah, now you're talking me back into the Cowboys. Rex Ryan's a poor man's Doug Marrone.
A poor man's Doug Marrone. It's a destitute man's Doug Marrone. the poor man Doug Marrone is living under the bridge right now. Yeah, Bills fans would kill for Doug Marrone at this point.
They really would. He's made the Jacksonville line look good. San Francisco at Detroit, 10-point game after the Detroit Lions go into New Orleans, handle the Saints, I mean, easily on Monday Night Football. But this is you won that game, right, against the spread?
I won it. I had the Lions, yes.
I had the Lions, too, in my picks league. I was surprised nobody else did. Detroit, Matthew Stafford under one Jim Bob Cooter has looked pretty freaking good, Nick. He's dialing in. He's dialed up. He's running this offense well. You almost wonder if, even if Jim Caldwell's fired, can they keep Jim Bob Cooter around? I tend to think the Lions will handle the 49ers, but 10 points is a lot against for a team that is 5-9 coming off a short week, right?
Yeah, I think, by the way, if your name is Jim Bob Cooter, like, you're one of three things. Like, you're either a college football quarterback, an offensive coach in the NFL, or a mass murderer. Like, there's no in between. You have to be one of those three things.
Or a fourth. You run a skeet shooting range in somewhere in Alabama.
Fair enough. Yeah, Jim Bob Cooter with the skeet shooting range. Absolutely. Like Zeke.
Cooter's skeet shooting range. Yeah.
We should. Zeke would be there. That would be awesome.
That's right.
But this is classic overvalued, undervalued here. The Lions should not be 10-point favorites against any professional team. Now, you put the Lions on the field with the Florida State Seminoles, make them a 10-point favorite, I'm down with it. But not against the San Francisco 49ers. The Lions won their Super Bowl this past Monday night against a hobbled Drew Brees and quite frankly, a very poor New Orleans defense. So yeah, the Lions looked good, and I had them, and that's great. But it was not like they went out there and beat a great team on Monday night. Whereas with San Francisco, only a 10-point loss at home to the Bengals, and if not for Vance McDonald literally gifting Cincinnati 2 interceptions, we're talking about a much closer football game. So I think you're getting a premium price here with the Niners and an overvalued spot with the Lions. I'm not saying the Niners are going to win the game outright. I think Detroit will win, but I don't think that win comes by double digits, so I will gladly take the 49ers plus the 10.
Yeah, and the other thing to remember about that 49, I mean, about the Lions-Saints game, I mean, Detroit tried to give that game away. Like, they were
at 28-20, I felt like I wanted to jump out of my window.
And you were getting 2.5 or 3 points. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah, it's, and so we're leaning the same way. God, we're leaning the same way a lot early. That's okay. We've been hot lately. I think I did all right on my best bets. I don't even remember anymore. How'd you do on your best bets last week?
Last week was not good, but here's the thing, Mr. Brinson. I hit Monday night. I hit my bowl game on Tuesday night. I hit my bowl game yesterday. So I am feeling good heading into the final stretch of the season. So I'll say this. If you're on board with me, you should feel really good because I am feeling hot, hot, hot.
All right, I'm hoping you have San Diego State on Christmas Eve then.
I have no play on that game. I feel like the number is a little inflated at this point.
Yeah, that moved too much. I like San Diego State personally.
I do like the Raiders, by the way, though, on Christmas Eve against
I do too. Just again, pulling back the curtain, we are recording this on Christmas Eve. I'm sitting in a couch in the lobby of a townhome in downtown Fayetteville. You're in Long Island.
Wait, hold on a second. Wait, so the place that you're in has a lobby?
It's sort of like a waiting area. It's like at four. So they're on the third floor. My stepfather-in-law.
So you're in a mansion essentially.
No, there's four houses, but nobody. There's not a ton of people who live here.
You're in the compound.
It's compoundish.
In a house and that house has a lobby, I think that it probably is a good thing, right?
It's not really a house. There's multiple built. There's like apartment like. So, like, there's, like, 301 and 302 and 303 and 304 here.
This is fascinating.
Yeah, except it's in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and not New York. So, the size of the building, the size of each one is pretty, you know, pretty huge. It's like 2,000 square feet. Or
God bless.
Yeah, 20,000 square feet. I don't
know. A Brinson family Christmas. It's a Festivus miracle.
But yes, I think the fact that, and I should have played this with the Chargers last week, the team that is playing their final game at home that thinks it might be their last game ever has a huge emotional advantage. And I think the Chargers just spent their huge emotional advantage playing the Dolphins at home. And you get the Raiders with that on Christmas Eve. But
Charles Woodson's last home game. And remember, if we played the game where we flipped the line, this game would be a pick 'em if it were in San Diego. And you would back up the Brinks truck on the Raiders.
That's exactly right. Cleveland at Kansas City. The Chiefs are 12, as my stepfather-in-law pointed out. He goes, man, the Chiefs are good, but 12 is a lot for an NFL game. He's right, isn't he?
Oh, man, I don't know much about your stepfather, but I do agree with him on this game. I think it is too many points. And thing is, books are finally catching up now to the Chiefs. Like, they've been red hot against the spread and, of course, straight up winning 8 straight games to improve to 9-5 after the dreadful 1-5 start. And now you're paying a premium if you want to get the Chiefs minus 12 at home against Cleveland. But here's the thing with the Browns and why I like Cleveland. It's a different team with Johnny Manziel under center. And, you know, you sort of have to take motivation and things like that into account the final couple weeks of the season, which teams have quit, clearly which teams want to get off the field and onto the golf course. And everything you're hearing out of Cleveland right now, whether it's Johnny Manziel or Joe Thomas saying, you know, we want Mike Pettine back, Mike Pettine saying that these are his guys. You know, if not for Alex Mack saying he's probably going to opt out, things are actually not bad right now in this Browns locker room, all things considered. I think they're going to come out and play hard for their head coach. I think Manziel's going to play a decent game. The Chiefs will win, but I think it's too many points, so I'll grab the points with the Cleveland Browns.
This is why I love you, Nick. No one can paint a more optimistic picture of a 3-win football team. You're like, oh, you got me amped up. I'm like, yeah, who isn't playing well? And by the way, that's sort of where bowl games are at in my head, just when picking bowl games. It's easy to say, all right, this team is better than this team. But motivation is huge when it comes to the bowl games. And I think you're right. It matters in the postseason. The biggest difference here for me is that the motivation for Kansas City to win this game handily is huge. Not because they have to impress some committee, but if they win out, they're in the playoffs. And they're riding an 8-game streak. I do agree that 11 or 12 is a lot to pay. But I'm just not backing the Browns. I think that Chiefs defensive line can get after Johnny Manziel. He has no weapons. So I'm going Kansas City, but I don't necessarily love the Chiefs. The Dolphins hosting the Colts was a late arriving line, primarily because we don't know who's going to play quarterback for the Colts. We found out it is not going to be Andrew Luck. He's ruled out. It could be Matt Hasselbeck. They added somebody else, but it's probably the Hasselbeck Charlie Whitehurst show. I like the Dolphins in this one. I don't know why I keep backing the Dolphins like a jerk store, but I think I like Miami just because I feel like you've got this situation with Indy where they're just kind of dead. They're dead man walking, even though they're like one game back of a division.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well, you know, when Chuck Pagano gets fired by the Colts, at least he'll have a new job on Sundays. He can be a zombie on The Walking Dead because, like you said, he's absolutely a dead man walking. This Colts team has packed it in, let's be honest here. Without Andrew Luck, tough spot. But, I mean, just a disgraceful effort last week, what you saw at home against the Houston Texans. And look, the real losers in this game are anyone that's forced to watch it. And, you know, I usually go and watch the games either at our boss's house or CBS, the great Anthony Mormile on Sundays, or watching The Office. And I made the mistake of leaving a little early last Sunday, going home and realizing that I had not purchased Red Zone yet. I haven't been home on a Sunday since I moved to South Florida. So I was forced to watch the Dolphins-Chargers game in its entirety until it ended, and I got to watch the end of Steelers-Broncos. So really, those are the real losers, people that have to watch this game. But I'm with you. Dolphins are at home. That's the only reason I'll take them here. I'm not going to watch the game. I'm not going to bet on it. As far as I'm concerned, it's not even really happening, but you're going to make me pick. I'll take Miami.
I would rather eat my toenails or something than watch Dolphins Chargers. It's like the only football game. I mean,
you give me a hair sandwich and I would eat that instead of watching Dolphins Colts. It's heinous, isn't
it? I'm with you. Dolphins Colts is disgusting.
I think that toenails would be more appetizing than a hair sandwich.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like you could probably get away, like, you know, maybe spread some mustard on there. You know, it's going to be a little less clumpy. I mean, I'm sure.
Yeah,
our families.
Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Yeah. But I like that our families were like, it's like, what? I thought he was doing a podcast about football. Like, he's yelling about a hair sandwich and eating toenails.
You should have seen me beforehand. I had to tell my mom, like, please don't bother me for 20 minutes. I felt like Will Ferrell. Like, Mom, the meatloaf.
Yeah. And just to, can I paint the picture? Because we did a video Skype before you fired this up. What you're currently wearing a sleeveless NWO tank top.
Well, because it wasn't a tank top when I bought it, but I like to go suns out, guns out, even though the sun's not out, and I actually cut the sleeves off the shirt. So I am currently wearing my cut-off NWO shirt. I feel like Hulk Hogan, except with about a foot shorter and with a lot less money in my bank account. and perhaps a lot less racism as well.
That's right. Well, good for you then.
There you go.
Patriots at Jets.
I am a real American after all.
We are all real Americans on this podcast. Patriots at Jets. Pats are -3 in New York. The Jets know that this game may very well decide their playoff hopes. I like the Jets and the points. I like the Patriots to win because the Patriots are a really good team. But I think with the defensive line the Jets have and the lack of an offensive line that the Patriots have, even with Gronk, I think the Jets keep this one close.
See, here's the problem with that logic, because you said you like the Jets, but then you like New England to win. I would really, 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 really like this game if it were 3.5, because you have some wiggle room there. At 3, you yes. don't have a lot of wiggle room, because basically you need the Jets to win. Now, is it possible the Patriots could win by 1 or 2? Absolutely. Or 3 and push? Sure. I think that if you made me pick, I would take the Jets as well, getting 3 points at home. And it's a pretty good Jets team, and they played well against the Patriots in Foxborough earlier this year. But unless this number ticks up to 3.5, I can't take the Jets with any confidence. So give me the Jets for the purposes of the pick on this podcast, but I will not have a financial investment in this game as it is. If it goes up to 3 and 3.5, then I have a real consideration to grab gangrene. But as it stands at 3, not enough wiggle room for me to consider the Jets.
Yeah, I should have said, well, for the purpose of our, and just to clarify, like I make the CBSSports.com picks, you make picks on Sportsline.com, and they make the CBS group of guys pick every game against the spread. We're getting Jets 3.5, and I'm one of 3 people.
Oh,
taking,
if you're getting Jets 3.5, I think it's a must. Yeah, then you take the Jets.
Yeah. Now, if it's 2.5, all of a sudden it's a Patriots. You know, I mean, that's
And if it's 3 for me, it's a non-play. 3.5 turns it into a play for the Jets for me.
Yeah, 3, you're just basically handing your pal. Whatever, you know, or you're handing your online sports pal, whatever, 10% of whatever.
Hey, Vito, here's your VIG.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why I'm dancing around it. Chicago and Tampa Bay, the Bucks -3 or 3.5 on our, is what we're, you know, they both have a half a point, so we don't have a bunch of pushes is what basically happens. I've decided that I'm not taking the Bucks getting more than a field goal the rest of the season, even as bad as Chicago might be. I'm just not doing it. I'm going Chicago here.
I like Tampa in this game, and I feel like you saw the Bears sort of not give up a little bit last week, but they were steamrolled by the Vikings last week, and I think a lot of us expected that game to be close. Yeah. Now, John Fox, I have a lot of respect for him as a coach, and I think that he's going to get the Bear, that ship righted in Chicago, probably sooner rather than later. But Tampa, I loved what I saw from the Bucs last week after they lost on Thursday night to the Rams. Jameis was pissed on the field after the game, and I think you really like to see that if you're the fan of a Bucs or someone that wants to potentially back them here. Tampa at home, I think Jameis is going to play very well in this game. I'll back the Bucks in a Lovie Smith revenge game against his old team. All that's missing from this one is Lovie up at the podium saying Rex is our quarterback as the answer to every single question. I'm going to have PTSD flashbacks to 2006. Give me the Bucks, not with a ton of confidence. I won't actually be betting on the game, but I'll pick the Buccaneers in this spot here.
I didn't factor in the whole Lovie revenge thing or 10 days rest. I took Tampa -3 against the Saints, and it was just so, like, as soon as it kicked off, I was like, why did I do that? They're not. Or maybe it was like 5.5. It was just more than a field goal.
Yeah, 4.5.
It was like they might win a close one, but they're not beating somebody by more than 3. So I'm that's the only reason I'm going with that. But I like your 2 points of logic there. Houston at Tennessee. I got to find a line for this because it's not on the site. It's Houston -3.5 at Tennessee. The Mets show. Suns out, guns out with the mustache man will be coming to – he'll be starting for the Titans, the 3-11 Titans. Of course, the Texans, 7-7, they can't clinch the division this week, but they can get pretty darn close to it with a win in Tennessee. I love the Texans to win and win big in this game, even though it's a divisional game.
See, I sort of fear for Zach Mettenberger's health in this game.
Is
J.J. Watt still pissed at Mettenberger, or is that blown over?
Yeah. No, the selfie thing? I mean, I think J.J. Watt holds grudges.
But, like, see, that's sort of like, it's like the bully in school that picks on someone for absolutely no, like, why would J.J. Watt have a problem with Zach Mettenberger? It's like a 6-round pick. Not a particularly good quarterback. He's a backup, and he's on J.J. Watt's hit list. It's like, it's pretty incredible.
Well, he was stupid enough to make fun of J.J. Watt for the Letterman jackets. Like, don't.
Well, the Letterman jackets were stupid.
Were stupid, no doubt, but don't make fun of J.J. Watt when his sole job is to put you in the ground face first. I mean,
to destroy you.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's just
and
stupid.
And eat your soul. Yeah. I don't think we need to spend a ton of time on this one because it's not a very intriguing game, to be totally honest, but I'll take the home team with the points at the 3.5. The hook intrigues me. I think Mettenberger's a better quarterback than a lot of people give him credit for. Now, I'm not saying he's Mariota or he's going to be their starter next year, because he's not, but I do think that he could develop into an NFL caliber starter down the line. I wouldn't be shocked if there's a new coaching staff, and I say if there will be a new coaching staff, if Mettenberger's dangled in trade talks. I think he's a guy that could start for a handful of teams in the league, or at least compete to start. I think he'll play well in this game. I think Tennessee falls inside the number. Give me the Titans.
Pittsburgh at Baltimore, 10-point spread for a Week 16 Steelers-Ravens game for the road team. That's insane, but it's not insane because the Steelers are the hottest team in football right now, and they're somehow not even in the playoffs at 9-5. Oh, no, I think they'd be in right now. Would they be in right now? Maybe they're in.
Yes, they'd be in.
They're in right now, and if they went out, they pushed past the tiebreaker this past week. That's right, with their win over the Broncos. Looked bad in the first half, looked great in the second half. The Ravens are a four win team that is going to be might start Ryan Mallett this weekend. Honestly, Buck Allen that got one carry last week cost me a spot in the 26 team office league championship game, and then Kamar Aiken had a nice week, but that's really the only bright spot of the Ravens. I don't know that I can possibly take 10 points. That's just a lot of points for a road team. But I think I did pick Pittsburgh because Baltimore is just trash at this point.
Yo, in 2015 rapidly coming to a close here, and I think the saddest tweet that I've seen all year, the Ravens official Twitter account tweeted out earlier today, Thursday on Christmas Eve, that one of three quarterbacks could potentially start in this game. Matt Schaub, Jimmy Clausen, or Ryan Mallett. By God almighty. Spin the wheel and make a deal. Like a choose-your-own-adventure book, except every page you turn to leads to a loss. Like there's no chance that you can win. But
that's Russian roulette with quarterbacks.
Yes, it's Russian roulette, except every chamber's loaded. you lose no matter what. I'll take the points with the Ravens, with the home team. And you look back to last week, the Ravens game against Kansas City. John Harbaugh went for a fake punt deep in his own territory. That led to a touchdown. Javorius Allen literally handed the ball to a member of the Chiefs who ran 70 yards for a touchdown. A pick six by Marcus Peters in the final couple of minutes. This could have been a much closer game than the final score indicated. I will take the Ravens with the points. Pittsburgh wins. Baltimore covers the spread.
I just think Pittsburgh's going to run up the score. Like, you never get a chance. And I realize that.
Oh, it's like, you know, the BCS committee will be watching this one closely.
No, I know. Yeah. But if you're the Steelers, you never get a chance to just bludgeon the Ravens. And their pass defense is the worst in the NFL. And Pittsburgh has the best passing game in the league right now. I mean, 10 is too many. The Ravens will probably end up covering, but I like Pittsburgh just to go out there and wing it around and win big and win handily, and it's and just win running away. So I'm taking the Steelers, but I'm 10 on the road is stupid.
What if someone told John Harbaugh like on August 30th or that you know what your primary intention is going to be the final 2 weeks of the season, seeing what Ryan Mallett has at the quarterback position?
He'd be like, am I fired? What's happening here?
Yeah, he'd tell you to pass the cyanide probably.
Exactly. Jacksonville at New Orleans. What a scorcher of a game. The Saints are -3.5 listed on our site. However, I've sniffed around to, let's say, sites that I might be interested in seeing, and I'm not able to find a spread, and I think that's primarily because Drew Brees, torn plantar fascia, and he is, everybody's saying he's going to tough it out, but it sounds to me like this is that BS publicity stuff that you leak out so people don't call you soft for skipping games. The reality is he's in the final year of his contract next year, like $30 million cap hit, $10 million in dead money. They cannot risk putting him out there, having him suffer a major injury, and then worrying about that, carrying that cap hit or carrying that dead money for an entire season when Brees is injured. So
what I have here, by the way, the Westgate lines for the Super Contest that lock in every Wednesday night, the line that they offered is Jaguars -2.5 on the road.
Wow. All right. There you go. I mean, I don't know if I love the Jaguars -2.5 because I think the Jacksonville is criminally overrated by –
Freed.
By,
like, you know what Jacksonville is? Like the ultimate good fantasy football team.
Yeah, but like who's overrating you? Because they've won – they've lost three of their last four games. And
but people love Jacksonville because Blake Bortles throws touchdowns and they start all their receivers in fantasy and Julius Thomas. That's why people like Jacksonville.
And all anybody thinks about is that 42-point half against the Colts in the second half. Their last three losses, I mean, they barely beat the Titans on that Thursday night game. They barely beat the Ravens. Remember, they got lucky as hell. So this is their last six games.
When Elvis Dumervil hit Blake Bortles with the rock bottom before the game.
Yeah, and they got that Hail Mary field goal. Then they barely beat the Titans on it. You know, I mean, if the Titans looked like they were locked and somehow.
Well, all you need to know is that if they had won last week's game, they would be in the thick of the AFC South race, and they lost at home to the Falcons.
But three of their last four games are losses: Chargers, Titans, and Falcons. This is a really bad football team that happens to put up good offensive stats.
Correct. Exactly.
So I don't know how to lean here. If they're getting 3.5 points, I trust them to keep it close enough against the Saints team without Drew Brees. But if they're giving 2.5 points on the road, but then again, what if the Saints are starting?
McCown.
Is it Luke McCown?
I believe so. Yeah.
I feel like it was somebody. I feel like it's somebody worse.
Oh, no, it's not. It's Matt Flynn.
It's Matt Flynn. Yeah. Luke McCown's on IR. So they're starting Matt Flynn, and they just lost their Super Bowl at home on Monday night. You know, they know that the season's over. They know the Sean Payton run is coming to an end.
Matt Flynn already had, like, his late season 6-touchdown performance game. That was a once-in-a-career moment. It's never happening.
Yeah, and I picked New Orleans in here. What the hell? Why did I do that? That's really weird.
I'll take Jacksonville because I think if there's no Breeze and it's Matt Flynn, the Saints defense is terrible. Jacksonville could end up scoring 40 points in the game. So I'll take Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, they really could. They really should just put up 40 points. There's no excuse not to. Green Bay and Arizona. Arizona -4.5 looked great. Demolishing the Eagles, excuse me, of course, suffered a huge loss. Tyrann Mathieu out for the year.
That sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. He's so fun to watch. And I don't think he should be called a cornerback or a safety or defensive back. He's just a DW, defensive weapon.
I like that. That's like what you saw in the old NCAA video games. Like weapon.
Yeah, he's just a weapon. He plays everywhere.
It was ATH for athlete.
That's right. When you're recruiting those guys, or Denard Robinson was an OW for a little while. I think he's going to be a big problem for that defense. I think that defense is going to have a drop off. As good as the Cardinals are at like playing next man up, I think you see a drop off with the departure of Tyrann Mathieu. And in that instance, I like Green Bay getting more than a field goal, but Arizona probably good enough to win even without him. David Johnson I hope everybody who's playing their fantasy finals knows he's not going to put up 45 points again.
Well, he was Christian Okoye in Tecmo Bowl last week, thanks to the Eagles. Like, he just stood still, and the Eagles came to hit him, and they bounced off him, and then he would just run in front for a touchdown.
Yes.
Are you ready, Will?
Am I ready?
Are you ready?
Am I for some football?
Are you ready for what I'm about to say?
Drop it.
The Green Bay Packers will go into Arizona and beat the Cardinals on Sunday outright.
Oh, sure. I can buy that. I mean, like, it's bold. Don't get me wrong. It's bold. I love it.
Green Bay was my Super Bowl pick before the season. I'm going to stick with them. The loss of Tyrann Mathieu is huge. And Arizona's pass rush has not been good this year, getting to the quarterback. Give Aaron Rodgers a couple extra seconds to throw. He can exploit the middle of the field with no Mathieu there to clog things up. I think Green Bay goes on the road and beats the Arizona Cardinals and reestablishes themselves as a Super Bowl contender in the NFC.
I like it. And look, Arizona, they got a lot to play for because they, you know, Bruce Arians gets them up every week, but they've basically clinched that 2 seed. You know, I mean, it's hard to imagine. I guess the Packers could walk them down in this
week. They have a week 17 game against the Seahawks still to come.
Okay, yeah, so they need to get one of these. But even more motivation for Green Bay. They know they can get that 2 seed, possibly get some home field games. I think Arizona feels good about it. They won their division, so there's some sigh of relief. A little worried about injuries when you lose Mathieu. He's an emotional leader there. I'm with you. I like Green Bay here, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's a very close game, which is why I'll take the 4.5. Not a very close game. St. Louis at Seattle. 13.5-point spread for the Seahawks, and I don't have the huevos to take the Rams.
Yeah, this is a lay it or don't play it scenario. You either take the favorite or you don't bet the game at all. How is St. Louis going to put more than 10 or 13 points up on the board? Answer, they're not going to. There's only one way to look. If you have the stomach to lay 13.5 points, which I probably don't, you take Seattle. You cannot take the St. Louis Rams in this spot.
By the way, I think that this is going to be a week where the owners in fantasy football who have the, again, huevos to play a guy like Christine Michael in your finals, or if you're desperate enough to play, I think he's this week's David Johnson.
This is why fantasy football is so stupid. Like, it's equal parts infuriating and exhilarating. I guess it's part of what makes it great, but like the fact that like Christine Michael, who's been on like 9 different teams this year, I thought he was the Abominable Snowman. Like, you hear so much about him, but you never actually see him. He actually made an appearance last week. This guy could end up deciding fantasy football championships is absolutely awful.
I'm telling you, I'm starting him. And finally, Giants at Vikings, Sunday night game. Minnesota getting 5.5, hosting the Giants, who will not have Odell Beckham because he's suspended for a week. I like the Minnesota Vikings a lot in this game, but 5.5 has plenty of points.
Yeah, no Odell Beckham in this game. I'm interested to see what sort of effort you get from the Giants because, listen, it's true, and you can criticize Tom Coughlin, and I have this year, but this Giants team under Coughlin has always played its best when its back has been against the wall. But this is a different set of circumstances now. It's a brutal defense without their best player and Odell Beckham Jr. The division could already be decided on Saturday if the Redskins beat the Eagles. I'm curious to see what effort we're going to get from this Giants team. I still have enough faith in Coughlin and company to think that they will come out and play hard. I'll take the Giants begrudgingly with the points. No financial investment of my own in this one, and maybe a little bit of home cooking with me being a Giants fan, taking Big Blue. But again, I wouldn't be shocked if the Vikings went out and won this game, 34-10.
And if the Redskins have clinched and Adrian Peterson plays, I love the Vikings because then I think the Giants are dead men walking. I'm taking Minnesota anyway. It's a lot of points, but the lack of Odell Beckham is huge for me. And your Monday night play, you want to give us a little teaser, a little hint, Mr. Monday Night here?
You know, I think for the first time this season, I might not play a side, and I might be playing a total in the Monday night game. So I look forward to that. I don't think there's a ton of value either way on the side, but Denver -3.5. A.J. McCarron and Brock Osweiler are the quarterbacks. It's not Dalton against Manning. So I think it's a bit more of a difficult game to handicap, but I may have a lean on the total in order to check it out. Of course, starting on Monday, you'll have to go to sportsline.com/pro to get my pick.
Awesome stuff, Nick Costas. I hope you enjoy your Christmas. I hope everyone listening has a happy holidays. Make sure to subscribe via iTunes. You can leave a comment, leave a review. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you in maybe right around the new year. We'll be back.
Right around the new year.
Yeah, we'll be back next week to preview the set of games. Thanks for listening, everyone.